You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You above me in the alley, Cupid shooting.
That is Dandelion by Kristen Hirsch off the forthcoming record Clearpond Road, which Kristen is bringing to Aotearoa Morena. Or what time of the day is it for you, Kristen? Welcome to the show.
It's 4:30 in the afternoon yesterday, right?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Hey, it's so lovely to chat with you. We're very excited that you're coming to New Zealand and you're playing for us.
You're not as excited as I am. I'm so happy to be coming back.
Oh, and bringing a beautiful record with you. These first two singles from Clear Pond Road are haunting and magic. Tell us a wee bit about the process you've been going through for writing this one.
It's funny, it's 30 years since I released my first solo record, which I did almost by accident. I was just trying to get off of Warner Brothers Records. I was trying to earn my band's contractual freedom, and they wouldn't give it to us. And so I said, well, how about I make a solo record and in exchange for our freedom? And, you know, they said, cool. But I honestly thought they were being nice. I thought it was this band nobody cares about. You're going to lob off one third and you expect people to care about it? It's like, this is a wicked trade. You know, I win.
I love that.
They did release it. And I learned a good lesson, a valuable lesson in, yeah, the bright, loud colors of the painting that is a band song are beautiful when you're not lying or manipulating, but the pencil sketch, the bones of the song, it's still an elaborate effect for a real listener. And that was that was genuinely informative. I did not know that. And I'm still writing these songs that sometimes prefer to be pencil sketches. And it happened again with this record. And this kind of production, I think, is full. It's very full sonically. But the effect is not of the sonic treatment necessarily, but the atmosphere that's, the lacuna in between.
Yeah. I think that's such an interesting thing, because I was going to ask you how it feels when you're, writing solo music versus when you're working in a band, because it must be quite a different headspace almost that you have to access. But does it feel like that for you still when you're making solo stuff? Is it a different part of yourself you're exploring?
I am a very goofy person. That would make a lot of sense. But the moment that determines where the song goes is the guitar I reach for when I begin to write it. So I write throwing music songs on my Les Paul or my Tele, 50-foot wave songs on my SG or my Strat, and solo songs on my Callings. And my drummers still tell me that's a really stupid system.
Hey, if it works, it works.
I've been doing it for a long time. That's my only argument.
There was something that I saw you write about this record where you said you don't have to search for metaphors. They're just everywhere in life. And I thought that was really lovely. But I wanted to know, in that case, how do you keep yourself open to those metaphors or those sort of ideas and thoughts finding you when you're, thinking about writing a song or thinking about creating a track?
Oh, what a cool question. I honestly think that for me, they aren't metaphors.
Yeah, right.
People who have tried to read between lines in songs, and fair enough, because we do that with each other too. A song should be a body when it enters a room. They usually get frustrated because there's nothing that didn't really happen for the most part.
Yeah.
They ask me what it's, quote, about. I say, well, I can tell you the story and it's all literally true, but why does that glow? Mm-hmm. So it isn't necessarily the concept of metaphor, but the concept of glowing. What part of this scene, this story, is really on fire? And not for me personally, not for the songwriter who should be selfless at that juncture, but for all the senses overlaid in response to the story that are then reflected as a song body that could then talk to someone else. It should be adopted by someone else. And if those moments don't glow and those notes don't reflect that capacity for glowing, you failed somehow. You're not being a songwriter. You got in the way. Kind of like being a parent. Like you start telling your kid how to dress, what to say, what to do, instead of reflecting their selfhood, then you failed.
That is a lovely comparison, but how do you know when a song is glowing? And particularly when you're in that process of writing, do you know when you're putting it down that this is the bit that's going to glow, this is the bit that's going to resonate, or do you have to sort of wait and see what happens when you bring it to other people?
Man, you are excellent.
Thank you.
the lyrics feel stuck in my throat like lying. We're all familiar with how it feels if you have to say something that isn't true for whatever reason. Yeah. That's usually the quality of vocal you hear, like on a, I'm going to say on the radio, on bad radio.
Yeah, totally.
We're familiar with that manipulation that is supposed to impress. So if I hear anything that feels like that, even coming out of the guitar, that like, well, this tap dance plays well, that thing, that's when I know I got in the way, because it's self-consciousness that really is the problem.
Mm. And do you sort of, when you're writing or when you're thinking about songs, do you talk to other people or are you quite solitary, particularly when it comes to obviously your solo music? In a band, I imagine that dynamic's very different. But when you're writing solo, do you ever bounce it off other people?
I don't bounce anything off other people. My bands play what I bring to them, to like the micro note.
Mm.
And I'm not proud of that. I just don't understand the process myself. So I wouldn't know how to pull someone else into it. And
yeah.
It's my bandmates certainly play loud enough that they're a part of the song. But if it's words and melody, and that's the legal definition, I have never known how to share that experience with anyone else, to the point where I was dissociating for most of my career, not even sharing the experience with myself, with the part of me that has a name.
That's an amazing thing to be able to recognize. Speaking of names, Clearpond Road is a beautiful name for this record. Is it a place? Is it literally a road? What's it referring to?
The cover of the record is a picture of a street sign my youngest son and I found in a junk shop when we were the only people left in our family of six. And we were traveling the world together and we were sort of clinging to each other and realizing that we were letting ripples on the pond make our lives bumpy. And we owed it to each other to have this little sad family of two not respond so seismically to those ripples. And we were both staring at the sign, realizing this is what we need to achieve. So we bought it and we carried it all over with us and we put it up everywhere we lived. And it's still in my kitchen, and the cover of the record is a picture of it hanging up in my kitchen. But I didn't think I was allowed to make this record until I had achieved that sensibility, that sort of deep, cold, clear bottom of the pond psychology, and helped my son achieve it as well. And so we sort of high-fived over the sign and said, okay, it's time to make this record now. And he's touring it with me.
Oh, awesome.
He's coming to New Zealand too. He's going to be my merch dude.
That's fantastic. What a nice thing to be able to share that, which has come from such a shared process almost, together, to see that
Thank
kind of...
Thank you.
Yeah.
And he's a good merch dude because he's so cute. And child labor laws notwithstanding, I think people think he's not going to eat if they don't buy what he's selling.
It's a good sales point. I like that. It feels very talismanic then, almost, this record for you. How does it feel to be, nearly at the point of releasing it now? Is it a scary feeling, an exciting feeling? Do you sort of try not to think about it? What's that experience like?
Trying not to think about it is closest. It's kind of awful, and I'm not complaining. It's an honor to play music, to check in every day and hear what it's talking about, and to try to achieve something similar when I spit it back out. And I know it has to go somewhere. I can't keep my children in my closet. But there's something that just makes me sick about it. It feels awful.
Mm.
I'm so sorry to answer truthfully.
No.
I don't know what it is. Like, just deep, deep, deep shyness, I think.
I appreciate the honesty, because I think a lot of people actually do feel like that, but there's this perhaps idea that you have to be very cheerful about releasing your record, or, you know, feel very, confident and stoked and happy to do it. It's a vulnerable thing.
It's not a pride thing. You're not allowed that. I'll take blame if I get it wrong, but what's there to be proud of? If you did it right, then you weren't responsible for it. And if you did it wrong, maybe that's the shyness. Like, now I'm going to hear that I did it wrong. It's like, shoot.
I'm so excited to hear this record, Kristen, in its entirety. We're going to listen to Ms. Haha now, which is the second single from it. And we're so excited to have you in New Zealand. In November, you're playing at the Tuning Fork here in Auckland on Saturday the 18th, and then across on the ferry over to Waiheke Island at Artworks Theatre on the 19th of November. Can't wait. It's going to be so special to have you back here. Thank you for speaking with us this morning, or this afternoon.
Thank
for
you. Thank you, sweetheart. It was so nice to speak with you.
Hey, we'll see you in a couple of months, and really looking forward to the record. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Seashells under his ground. Come back, Mr. Bones, to the crab shack we call home. If I gave in, we'd have today. What more were we gonna have anyway? Come back, Mr. Bones, to the flashback we call under his crown. Come back, Mr. Bones, to the flashback we call. What more were we gonna have anyway?
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.